As I said, we will continue our study of the Holy Spirit this afternoon, looking at the fact that the Bible teaches that the dwelling of the Holy Spirit in the Christian produces the fruit of the Spirit. But we look at Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, the fruit of the Spirit is listed here, but it is listed in contrast to the works of the flesh. Paul is trying to encourage the Christians in Galatia not to walk after the flesh, which he describes here. He says, beginning in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here he's talking about the works of the flesh, but now he begins in verse 22 to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live in the Spirit. Let us also walk in the Spirit. Notice when he contrasts the works of the flesh to the fruit of the Spirit. He's describing one thing here. He's not describing several things. For instance, on this idea of describing fruit, I give you a description of something. It's round. Is that enough? Could be anything, right? Could be an orange. It's red. Ah, I know what it is. It's an apple. Ah, but the inside flesh is also red. Well, it could still possibly be some strange kind of apple. It has a single seed. It's called a pit. Now I got the idea. It's a cherry that I'm talking about, right? Okay. All describing, it's red, it's round, it's red. It has a single pit. What am I talking about? I'm talking about one thing. What are we talking about here with the fruit of the Spirit? It has all of these various attributes. It's love, it's joy, it's peace. It's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness, self-control. All of these things describe the fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit is in us, then we are showing these attributes. One of these attributes that's mentioned here is faith. I bring this one out specifically because all of us know what Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, where faith comes from. Where does faith come from? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if this attribute that is shown when we display the fruit of the Spirit is in us, we know that it comes by hearing the Word of God. Another parallel to this is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Where he says, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that the fruit of the Spirit is shown in us? It is shown in us when His Word is in us. When we are not barren or unfruitful because the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is in us, when God's Word is in us, then we are exhibiting these same attributes. These come from a knowledge of God's Word as it has been revealed by the Holy Spirit. When we display these attributes in our lives, it is said that we are displaying the attributes of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We are displaying the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I also said one more thing that we were going to cover today is that the Bible teaches that the Son and the Father dwell in us through God's Word, and seeing that in like manner the Spirit of God dwells on us through His Word as well. Notice the idea of something dwelling in our hearts is often used figuratively in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3, we find that the Corinthians lived in the heart of Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 3, Paul says, "I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together." Did the Corinthians physically live in the heart of Paul? Of course not. We know that he's speaking figuratively here, in that his knowledge of them and his love for them is what was in his heart. And in that sense, they dwelt in him, that they lived in his heart. Again, Paul references the great blessings that God has sent us. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 17, it says, "Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruit in seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Filling our hearts with food and gladness? Does food literally live in our hearts? If it does, you probably have too much cholesterol, right? It's not what he's talking about here. Okay? The gladness and the food that he's talking about here is spiritual. And it doesn't live in our physical hearts, in that sense, but in the sense that his word dwells in us. Another example we see from time to time when we look at a young man, say, "You know, I see your father in you." Or at a young woman or an older man like me and say, "I see your mother in you." Okay? Are they physically there? No. But the attributes are there. The attributes are there. They shine through. It is a mirror of them. Our lives should be a mirror of the things that the Holy Spirit has written for us. But how does Christ dwell in us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Jesus Christ is in you, he says. Just as other passages that we've spoken about today, that the Holy Spirit is in us. Jesus Christ is in us, unless indeed you are disqualified. How is this happening? In the fact that the knowledge of Christ is in us. In the fact that his words are in us and the knowledge of him is in us, then he dwells in us. Again, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He goes on to talk about what happens. Now, what is he saying here? He says, I'm continue to teach you until these words are a part of you. The entire word had not been revealed yet, had it? The promise that we talked about this morning of the Holy Spirit guiding the apostles into all truth had not yet been completed. And as it is being revealed to the apostles, they are writing it down so that it can be in the hearts of those who are spoken to by the apostles. Christ is formed in you when his words become a part of your life. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches and glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory that we have is not in a physical indwelling of Christ in our lives, but in his words dwelling in us. We can understand that. It's very easy for the religious world to understand that. Why is it so difficult to understand that the Holy Spirit dwells in us the same way? We see that when Christ's words dwell in us, that it is Christ dwelling in us. Again, a passage that we looked at this morning, John chapter 15, verses 4 through 7. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I abide and I in you. How does the one who follows Christ abide in Christ? By following his teachings. How does Christ abide in him? By his words. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. And they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. When we abide in Christ, when Christ abides in us, his word abides in us. When we abide in Christ, these words, these actions come out in our lives. Christ lives in us through his word. How does the Father live in us? Well, scriptures teach us that the Father does live in the Christian. in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 25. Paul has been talking here about prophecy and speaking in tongues and the things that go along with this, and the fact that if a stranger comes in among you and people are speaking in tongues, he doesn't understand that language, what good does it do him? But when you prophesy, he can understand. Verse 25 of verse 14, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly in you. How is it that God is in you? How can that person see that God is in you? By the words that you speak. When you speak the words of God, God is coming from you. Where is he? He abides in you because his word is in you. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul's plea for unity here, verses 4 through 6. But in verse 6, he says, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. How is God in you? Is he physically dwell in you, like the world thinks the Holy Spirit does? No. To the extent that his word dwells in you, he is in you. It's also apparent that the Bible says that God's word works in us. That is showing that God works in us. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, we read, For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God working in you. If God is working in you, then he must be in you in order to do this, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. Doesn't that make it pretty clear how God works in us? God works in us through his word. When his word is working in us, it is effective. When God's word works in us, it is God working in us. The Father works in us and lives in us through his word. At the same way the Father works in us, the Son works in us, the very same way the Holy Spirit works in us. One more time, a scripture that we dealt with this morning, but we want to use it in just a little bit. We want to look at it from a different part of it this afternoon. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 16. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised you from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as have been led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Father, Father, or Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. As many of you as have been led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. How are we led by the Spirit? Not by his physically dwelling in us, but by the words that he revealed. These lead us to do what is right. These are what teach us how to live as Christians. These are what teach us what to do to be a child of God. And what to do once we are a child of God. This is the Spirit moving us to work. When his word dwells in us, we do what he tells us to do. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? It's not a real huge step to understand that when the Spirit dwells in someone, it can be said that the Spirit is in someone. When his word dwells in you, then you will do the things that the Spirit directs you to do. When we look at the Word of God, and the Word of God tells us what to do, when the Word of God tells us what not to do, the Holy Spirit has inspired these words. When we live them in our lives, they are a part of us. As David said this morning, we read, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. When God's word is in us, it causes us to do the things that the Holy Spirit has set for us to do. You know, we use a couple of scriptures very often to talk about our music in the church. And I think just about everybody here can tell us what they are. The first one we find in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. Says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay. When we sing, we are filled with the Spirit, aren't we? We speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we sing praises to God, is it the Holy Spirit physically in us causing us to sing? No. It is the love of God that we learn in his word that causes us to want to praise him in song. It's the love of God that comes by a knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given us through the Word that causes us to want to sing praise to our Creator. Again, the other passage that I mentioned is a parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Notice what he says in this side. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What did he say over here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19? He said, be filled with the Spirit. Right? What did he say over here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's a parallel passage. What is he talking about? He's talking about the same thing here, isn't he? When the word of God dwells in us, the word of Christ dwells in us, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and it causes us to praise God in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How much clearer can we get than Galatians chapter 3 and verse 2, where he asks, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Paul isn't asking here, did they receive it by works of the law? It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? You received the Spirit by hearing of faith. When you heard the Word of God preached, you received, what did you receive? The Spirit. You received the Word of God. The same thing. When you received the Word of God, you received God. When you received the Word of God, you received Christ. When you received the Word of God, Paul says here, you received the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Again, Christ dwelling in us through faith. The Bible absolutely teaches that the Spirit dwells in the Christian as the Word of God lives in the Christian, as the Word of Christ dwells in the Christian, as God and Christ dwell in the Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in the Christian in the same manner. We've spent today looking at how the Spirit dwells in man, in the Christian. We've looked at the fact that the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit dwells in the Christian through the living Word. Now the question is yours. If you're a Christian but you've fallen away, if you've stopped letting the Word live in your life, and by it that the Spirit has stopped dwelling in you, or living in you, are you ready to do something about it tonight? Do you desire the Holy Spirit to rule in your life and to lead your life? Then allow His words to guide your life in all aspects. If you're not a Christian, the Holy Spirit desires to live with you. Will you allow Him into your heart through your obedience to His Word? Will you heed the plan that He has for man's salvation today? Will you hear the Word as we spoke about Romans chapter 10 and verse 17? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Will you believe with all of your heart? As Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Will you repent? As Paul very clearly stated on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, that God requires all men everywhere to repent. And are you ready to confess Jesus as the Son of God? Because it's the only way that He will confess you before the Father, is if you first confess Him before men. And then will you be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins, to walk in newness of life. Because without faith, without obedience, there is no hope of eternal life. Wherever you stand before God tonight, if it's not in a right relationship to Him, and if there's something that we can do to help you on your path to heaven, won't you come while we stand and sing?